Hello and welcome to Wisdom and Productivity, the podcast of Dr. Efraín Martínez. I am a school principal in search of wisdom so I can best serve my community. As part of this show, I interview luminary figures as I believe humanity can be better if they learn from them. In essence, the purpose of this podcast is to learn about the side B of the luminary figure, meaning what makes them be who they are. It is also an opportunity to express gratefulness for the perhaps even more luminary figures that inspired the interviewee. Today I have the distinguished honor of interviewing Lavona Roth, an international keynote speaker, author, consultant, founder, and chief illuminator at Ignite Your Shine. I was very excited to see that title. I'm so excited to see how she's going to illuminate the mindsets of the listeners of the show. Lavona Roth, who are you?
Oh, well, hello, Dr. Efraín. Hello, listeners. Thank you for having me. So excited. Who am I? Wow, you have an hour and a half plus three more. I am someone who is an educator at heart. I love to make a difference, and much of it comes from individuals who have been feeling less of themselves or feeling that they're not good enough and getting to the core of that. And so that's what Ignite Your Shine was all about. And prior to that, I was a teacher for 13 years. I am a mom. I live in the United States, Florida specifically, and just try to live each day to its fullest.
Beautiful. I love it. Can you walk us through that professional trajectory?
In what way? Can you elaborate?
So,
professional, like my path?
Today, you inspire people by giving speeches, by coaching and consulting. Walk us through, how did you get to that position?
Well, first of all, you have to know that I never planned on it. But I have learned most entrepreneurs actually don't ever think they're going to own a business, which is fascinating to me. So yes, I had multiple jobs after leaving education. I was looking to become an assistant principal and ended up being given the advice to explore, find out what else was new out there, something different, and then go into administration. And I did, and I had some good experiences, and I had some not so good experiences, to the point that on one of them, I finally said, you know what, if they can run a company treating people like this, which was horrible, screaming at you, yelling at you, and then hugging you the next minute, I thought, okay, then I can run a company and treat people right. And I had no clue to what that meant at the time, but I've been doing this for 13 years now and absolutely loving it. So when you ask that question, it comes down to just make the choice. Right, I don't know what I'm doing half the time. It has been a massive learning curve, thankfully successful. You know, and now I can reflect back and look on all the things that I did well. I've also can reflect back on many mistakes made, but we continue to push forward with, let's try this. Okay, well, last time we tried that, it didn't work as well, so what did we learn? So it's a total process going through, but it's fun, it's an adventure, it's a journey.
Beautiful. I mean, becoming a person that mentors others, it must have felt like taking a big risk and just jumping and doing it. Fascinating. Thank you for sharing that. If you could go back in time, like in Back to the Future, what would be one or two things you will tell yourself?
To embrace the mistakes. I didn't at first. I'm a big perfectionist, at least was. I call myself a recovering perfectionist now. And so it took me a long time to embrace mistakes. I felt like everything had to be perfect. I felt that everything was a reflection of me if it wasn't. And now having that viewpoint, and if I could have told myself at a younger age, take the risks, what do you learn from it? What are you going to do with that next? What did work? And have approached life differently, I would have saved myself probably a lot of time. And the other thing I'm going to add, sneak another one in, is having a mentor or coach myself. I wish I had done that sooner. I kept thinking, I don't have the money, I don't have the time, I'm not where I need to be for them to coach me. And that was entirely wrong, because the coaches that I have had, not all of them have been great, but some of the ones that I have had that have been, they've grown leaps and bounds, and they're taking their experience and sharing that with me, which is, it's just invaluable.
Thank you for sharing that. Let me ask you a follow-up question. In a nutshell, what makes a great coach?
First of all, somebody who listens. Second of all, somebody who shows empathy. Third, I think it's someone who has been there. I'm not saying everybody had to have been there, as in, you know, some of the things we do for corporate sometimes is work on presentation skills. I can do that because I'm a speaker, you know, and I have the experience and background, and sometimes people try to coach on something they have no experience in. But it doesn't mean that necessarily bad, but I do look for that. I look for some experiences with that. And then fourth is really about growing the person. And when we look at shine, we look at S as self, and we're really digging into or with the strengths, gifts, skills, and talents. And we look at H, heart, is all about passion. A coach draws on the strengths and the passions of the person that they're working with to help accelerate them.
Oof, that was powerful. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you. A broad question. Who do you learn from?
I learn from a lot of different people with podcasts. I really dig into psychologists. I dig into neuroscientists. Some of the more popular ones, like Dr. Brené Brown, I listen to her. But I also dabble a lot. Oops, so sorry. I dabble a lot in reading and just a variety of things. And then my biggest thing that I will say is I'm an observer and learner of people around me. So yes, I know the research, I hear the research, I look at the research, but much of what I actually am seeing and looking at has to do with observation. And basically, you could probably call it action research.
Love it. Thank you for sharing that. Another big question abroad. Who is or who are your biggest influences?
Ooh, my biggest influences. So I would say Dr. Brené Brown, even though I already mentioned her, she's one, because she talks about how we all come from different stories. And that was a big aha for me. We come from different stories, but we also create stories about other people. And that is something I wish I had known earlier, is that we create what we think are truths in our head. And I dig into the brain all the time. I love brain research. My books are all about how to engage students based on neuroscience and the sciences of learning. And I know this, but to be able to look and see and recognize that they didn't come from the story that I did, which means I need to listen to them, right? And begin to understand their perspective. So there's a lot of gold from her. Other than that, it's a lot of variety of people. I have powerful women, for example, in my life, and I have some powerful men in my life that have taught me how to care for others and pay attention and to find joy in life. And it's an ongoing process, but having them in my ear, I mean, the final person I would say is my grandma. My grandma passed away years ago, but she was always my cheerleader. So there's moments when I'm like, I don't know if I have what it takes. Yes, you do. Yes, you do, because you make the decision to do. And grandma's right there talking.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. That's such a kind note. Being successful includes being on top of our productivity. And this can mean so many things to so many people. So what does it mean to you, and what advice do you have?
I used to think productivity meant I had to put in 12 to 15 hour days. And I use a full focus planner by Michael Hyatt, because it helps identify the three. Oh, you have it!
Oh my God! Yeah, the full focus planner! Oh my
God!
Can you describe
what
is the focus planner for the listeners of the show who might not know?
Okay, so the full focus planner is one that it has you identify the three things, your three rocks, your big goals for the day. And then below that, you put all the other tasks. So what you're really doing is, instead of being inundated with all of the to-do lists, which everything on that to-do list is not an actual priority, right? Some of them need done right now. Some of them need little bits of work, and some could be pushed off for another week. And so what we do is we put all in one list. Well, instead, for the full focus planner, all you're going to do is What are your goals? What are you trying to actually achieve this week? And what are the three main tasks on your to-do list or off the to-do list, doesn't matter, that are going to drive you to achieve that goal? And then everything else is underneath that, so that you prioritize every single day the three tasks that are going to drive you to the goal for that week or whatever time frame you have established. I love it because on the right-hand side, I can take notes. So if I had a phone call that day or there's something that I had to brainstorm about, I can put that on there. And it just really keeps me going. And the last part I will say that I love, too, is on Sundays. At least that's when I do it. I don't know about you, Dr. Efrain.
I do it on Friday.
Sunday. Oh, you do Friday.
Yeah,
see, I heard
weekly
it.
Planning?
At the end of the week.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. So yes. You plan your glorious week on Sundays?
I do, because it gets me, okay, what do I have happening next week? What do I need to focus on? Is there anything I need to adjust priority-wise? Yeah, it keeps me on my toes. And then the tip that I will also give that's helped me a lot, and I know this might be difficult if it's somebody who isn't working from home, for example, or doesn't have necessarily all the flexibility, but maybe you can play with the idea, is my morning, I notice in the morning I'm most creative. So my morning time, I try to not block any phone calls, anything like that, and because I'm in creation mode. And then I try to do anything that has to do with conversation, emails, those kinds of things in the afternoon, because that is my connection time. So I have creation and connection.
Wow. Love the strategy. Thank you for sharing that. That's awesome. A couple of follow-up questions in terms of productivity. You are a speaker, you are an author. So in terms of logistics, let's start first with when you're gonna present something. I remember learning from you in what makes great principles great. And that was maybe, I don't know, a few years ago. And I was enthralled when I listened to you. And how do you prepare? What happens behind the scenes? Do you start with the end in mind? Do you do a mind mapping? Do you go slide by slide? How's the magic cook behind the scenes before you get to present?
Oh my goodness, I love that you're asking this. I actually teach a course for consulting because people kept asking me. It's called Prime to Shine. And yes, I teach a course, and then we do monthly events where I coach and we do fun things together and we do all kinds of just masterminding or brainstorming together. So I love that you're asking this. But yes, so when it comes to speaking, for me, the core, so in my business, SHINE is an acronym, so SHINE is the framework. So it doesn't matter what talk I'm going to get, SHINE is still the core of it all. So before I arrive, I have found out who's in the audience, why are they there, what are the goals of the event, I'll just say it that way, so whether it's a school district, a conference, whatever it may be, I've collected a bunch of information in advance, and then I take the core of what I have, the slide deck, and I look and I say, okay, what needs to be pulled out based upon the discussion, what can stay in. And then once I have the slide deck solidified in my head, knowing this audience, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense? Do I need to switch out my examples? Do I need to change out the stories that I tell? Or is there a different way when I tell the story, there's a different spin and connection that I'm making with it based upon who's in the audience? And so, you know, we are all about loving and serving others. So that's always at the top of my head is when we walk in and go step up, get ready to step onto the stage. Although I don't like to be on the stage, I much prefer to be down with everybody and amongst everybody. But you know, whether the stage up or down, we'll just say it that way, I am already prepping for the energy and to bring the best to them. And with educators right now and been working with them in schools, I see the heaviness. You know, we have a lot of others and other fields with the same, just this heaviness of where they are. And so any way that we can love and serve and uplift, that's at the very, very forefront. And so I see it as my job that is no matter how exhausted I am, it is no matter what else is happening in my life, my job is to put that to the side and serve those in front and bring them the best.
Oh, beautiful. Awesome. So let's take that same question. You have published numerous books. I'm here as an aspiring author planning for 25 years and how I'm going to do it. What advice?
No, not 25 years.
No, that I have been thinking about it. And I think that is it's coming into fruition. What advice do you have for authors? What lessons you have learned?
So I'm going to say explore your options. It may not be a traditional publisher, the route that may be best for you. It depends on your circumstances and what you have and what you are wanting to achieve with the book. The second advice that I'm going to get is don't sign any contract. unless you've had an attorney look at it. And I know we think, no, everybody's in good graces. Everybody, you know, has our best interests. And yes, to some extent, yes. I always believe that's the intention. But whatever contract you're about to sign is from their perspective. So just have an attorney look at it. Is there anything you're not thinking about, especially if you're wanting to develop your own business going forward? Because what ends up happening is the copyright is that, and in some cases, the intellectual property is also owned by them. And I can give you an example. I was looking at creating some posters using the strategies that I've been using based on how the brain learns, and they are in my book, and I had to ask the publisher for permission to print the posters. My ideas, my strategies, everything in there is what I did. But because they own the copyright of the book, I would violate and infringe on my own work, but infringe because they owned it in that case. So if you're ever looking at going forward, that's going to be the biggest nugget I'm going to drop right here is that.
Wow, that's I would have never thought about it. That's such a great advice. Listeners of the show, I know you will highly benefit. And finally, obviously you're always going here and there, traveling, so your schedule must be like your best friend. Any one or two tips you can suggest, what have you learned throughout the time in terms of not making boo-boos? Oh, I'm supposed to be here, but this person is awaiting me. As you know, principals, we're always busy with schedules. So anything that you can advise in terms of scheduling yourself or someone scheduling for you that you have learned?
So I will give you some advice that I heard a few years ago, and it literally was life-changing for me. Prior to hearing the advice, my sister kept saying to me, Lavanna, you need to schedule everything. Like, you need to schedule in your family time. You need to schedule in, you know, a call. And I looked at her and I thought, okay, how do I schedule in family time? Like, my daughter walks in the room. I can't say, I'm sorry, you're at 1 o'clock. You know, like, that's not reality. So I kept hearing her and she kept saying this to me, whatever. I get to an event and I hear, it's Kevin Harrington. He's from Shark Tank originally. And he said at the front of the room, he said, you know what I do to help me with my calendar is I schedule everything. And my sister turned and looked at me and I looked at her and I was like, okay, turn around. I hear, right? But it was sometimes it's the time and sometimes it's how it's said. But what he said was what changed it for me. He said, you know, I feel a lot of guilt when I'm working because I'm not spending time with my family. And when I'm with my family, I'm thinking about work and what I should be doing for work. He said, if you schedule in both, then you can release the guilt because right now I have my scheduled family time. I can keep working. It's okay. And that taught me balance. But the piece that I added in was also time for me. I once had someone say to me, Lavanna, when are you taking time for you? And I remember I welled up with tears and I looked at them and I said, I'm not. And they said, and that's what you need to change. And so I literally, in my calendar, my full focus planner, I literally go in and for the week, I put in everything that I can't change. Very next thing goes in my calendar is my self-care. And then everything else comes after that.
Time for self-care. That is the advice of the year. Thank you so much. Any last thoughts for the listeners of the show?
Just know that life's meant to be a journey. It's meant to for you to mess up. It's meant for you to have fun. It's meant for you to not know all the answers. And just take time to recognize that and say it's okay. Like, you get one life, one. So are you going to sit and worry about every little bit or what you haven't done and what you need to do? Or are you going to say, okay, what's the next thing that I can do? And I am preaching to myself as I say this right now. So it's a constant reminder and work in progress to do that. So no, I encourage you to just enjoy the one life that you're given because we can look at all the negatives, especially right now. We can look at all the negatives, but there are so many positives that we will miss if we choose to.
People spend a lifetime trying to learn that, and the listeners of the show will be able to learn that today. Thank you so much.
Yay, no, thank you. And your words meant the world to me when you said that you were enthralled, which thank you. But listening and just being a part of what great educators do differently, you know, just, so now we have to meet.
Yes, absolutely. There's so many conferences. I'm sure it's bound to happen. Keep changing the world. Thank you for what you do.
hey, I'm going to say the same to you, because you're bringing all of this goodness and greatness and your own personality and energy and just warmth and fun to others to listen to. So I thank you for all that you're doing, because I know this takes a lot of time.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
This has been the podcast of Dr. Efraín Martínez, Wisdom and Productivity, Peace and Calm.